This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Man Therapy. His name is Kyle. My name is Dan. Kyle, how you doing, bud?
Better than I deserve.
Yeah, yeah. There's days I feel like it. There's days I feel like it, man.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sabotage this entire episode.
You can.
Because I know there's something that we've been trying to get at that you wanted to talk about here multiple weeks in a row now. I do have to share a very quick story, and I just want to keep it short, sweet, to the point, but something really scary happened to our family this past weekend. Yep. So Saturday or Friday night, Sarah started getting like a sinus cold. So she has asthma. Yeah. And, she started getting worse and worse over the course of Friday night. We went to Walgreens. We tried to do the medicines. She did a breathing treatment. We always take a nebulizer with us wherever we go. Okay. What else have we done? She's on, inhaler, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, I get woken up at about 2:30 in the morning because we're in Des Moines at an Airbnb away from our house. Oh. And I'm sleeping with one of the boys. She's sleeping with another one of the boys. And she wakes me up. She's like, I think I need to go to the emergency room. And usually what happens in a scenario like this is this has happened in the past. All right. She doesn't have the prednisone she needs. These things kind of sneak up on her.
Yeah.
You know, she goes to urgent care. She gets the medicine. She gets the breathing treatment. She gets the steroids, whatever, back to normal in like 8 hours. Okay. Right. So I'm just like, come on, why can't you just drive yourself? Right. And she's like, well, I'm not feeling that well. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I take her. I'm there for a little bit. Kids are at home at this Airbnb. We were with another couple, but I just was going to assume this one was going to turn out like all the other ones.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like 3 or 4 in the morning and I'm used to these long ass waits. You know, like it takes forever to get in and out of the emergency room. They took her right away. They started doing their stuff. They were giving her the steroids and all that stuff and, you know, took her heart rate and, you know, for the most part, a normal asthma attack, something that we've both seen before. Fast forward to the next morning, it's like 7 o'clock. I wake up, I'm cooking breakfast for everybody there, you know, or making pancakes for everybody there. And Sarah's like, hey, they're keeping me for a little while to monitor. And I'm just like, okay, still didn't feel like nothing was out of the ordinary.
Yeah, right.
And she says, they're moving me to a room. They're moving me to a room and, the room had a number to it and I didn't think much of it. And she's like, can you come? I said, yeah, after I'm done cooking breakfast. I'm like, okay. Like again, she's not communicating to me how bad she's feeling. And I'm assuming everything's okay. Like all the other times.
Kind of standard operating.
I get to the hospital that she's at. There's 7 people in her room. She has been moved to the ICU unit of the hospital and she is on forced air and she's on a constant nebulizer, and her heart rate is 140 and her oxygen level is 77.
Oh, wow.
In her blood. And yeah. So 90 is considered low.
Oh, like, yeah.
Real low.
Right.
Real low. And she was at a 77. And she was like,
oh, my God.
Like,
it's not the COVID.
So this was crazy. The doctor could not hear her lungs active. Right. And so I go out into the hallway to talk to the doctor, and I'm like, somebody tell me what the fuck's going on. I dropped her in for an asthma attack. Now she's in the ICU of a hospital. She's hooked up to like all these machines. And the doctor's like, I said, and I'm just very blunt. I go, hey, listen, I am trying to get a stage of where we're at here. Zero being we're going to be out of here in 45 minutes. 10 being worst possible case scenario. Yeah. And she goes, she is at a 6 and rising. And I started like internally, I'm like, okay, holy shit. Like, right. This is a shit moment.
Yeah.
And the doctor goes, we are moving her to another hospital because the likelihood of her having to go into a medical induced coma and put on a ventilator are very high right now. Out of like, boom, things change like that. So I'm like, holy shit. Like, what is going on? Like, I'm taken way off guard at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sarah looks horrible. She's struggling to breathe. The medicine that they give her increases her heart rate and like makes her shake. So she's doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it turned really scary. Probably the most scared that I've ever been. The only other two things that I can think of is one time my oldest boy had a virus and a rash all over his body. And it was a virus. And then they put him in the hospital, gave him some breathing treatments and some steroids. And he was back up and running in like less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so I lost it. Like I was breaking down emotionally because it happened so fast.
Oh my gosh.
So I had a lot of phone calls to make. And then I get into the parking lot. Dude, I don't care where people are, with religion and praying and things like that. I had a very real moment with God.
Yeah.
And dude, it has changed me forever. And maybe someday I'll elaborate on that. Mm. But I asked for his help and I said, dude, I will do whatever you want me to do. I need your help right now. And my wife is really struggling. If you could help her, I would appreciate it. Like, and I called my pastor, I called Brody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he prayed with me. Now here's the crazy part. I'm in the parking lot while I'm doing this, waiting for her to get checked into the hospital. And so I was like emotionally broken down at that point. And so I took one more real deep breath and I looked in the sky and I'm like, all right, fucking man check, dude. Like, it's time. Cause if I walk in there looking like that, she's going to get real worried.
Right.
You want to be rocked. So I was just like, and I just almost yelled everything out of my body. I went blank, time to handle business. Right.
Yeah.
So I went in there and first off, I called Sarah's parents and I was like, hey, listen, we got some not so good news. And her parents didn't get it. Like, I was telling her dad, like, she's probably going to have to be put on a ventilator here.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, oh, that sucks.
right.
And I was like, at that point I was just like, okay, whatever. I don't have time to go into all the explanation.
Right.
And dude, I walk into the hospital. I walk up to the, you know, she's not in the system. So I had to wait for a little bit till she was in the system. And then she told me what ICU room she was in. I walk in there again, all these people in there, like trying to help her fight. And I'm walking in, the nurse pulls me aside and she's like, okay, here's what's going on. Blah, 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 blah. Long story short, at that moment, I walk in there and the nurse goes, the doctor has evaluated her and it looks like
she's taken in the short period of time in the ambulance ride, she's taken a backward step, meaning she was on the edge of having to be put in a coma. And then it was one step away from that. And then it was one step away from that. And I've never really been, I've been like really trying to do this journey, as far as getting back to my faith and things like that.
Yeah.
And I had a moment there where I was like, was it coincidence or did God really help solve this problem?
Right.
And dude, it just like, you know, like it could be someone in the batter's box closing their eyes, swinging as hard as they could and hitting a home run. It could have been that, but it also could have been something else. And I felt it. Like, I don't know what to say other than that. And, so she was in the ICU for 3 days. And then she got transferred for another 2 days into a regular room where they monitored her breathing. And now we're finally back home. And I was the most scared I've been, in my marriage ever.
How could you not be?
Yeah. And one thing I want to say, in this is we talk a lot about our relationships in this podcast.
Yeah.
And maybe jab our wives a little bit, you know, talk about how they, you know, like, oh, here's the most frustrating part about my wife. And, it's all true. It's all true. Yeah. But this whole thing made me realize like how much I actually love her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't love her, I probably would have, you know, like she's always going to be the mother of my children as well.
Yeah.
But I felt for her in this time frame that I had never, it was like, what will I do if she does not make it out of this? Like, she's the one for me. And although there's times where I feel like I hate her guts, it was an eye opener on many levels. I'm so glad we're out of this. I want to thank the Lord for stepping in when he did. And like, it got crazy there for a while, man.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's like, that's some really heavy stuff.
Dude. And I had to lie to my kids. You know what I mean? Like, where's mom at? Oh, mom's just at the doctor's, you know, doctor getting a breathing treatment. They're just taking a look at her lungs.
Yeah,
and then one day goes by. Now the two younger ones, I can trick them all day.
Yeah.
But my daughter, she turns 13 this month.
Yeah.
She starts asking more questions and she's like, what's going on? I'm just like, hey, listen, she had a wrestling tournament that next day too. Yeah. So I was like, okay, what do I even say to her?
Yeah.
Like, I went with the vague truth. Like, it's a little worse than what we thought, but she's with the doctors and she's getting better. Okay. And that was sufficient enough at the time for her.
Yeah.
And she still wanted to wrestle in that tournament. And she did. So crazy, crazy last 5 days, dude.
So what
blows
was it?
My mind.
What was it?
Okay. So, you know, in COVID you had like morbidly obese people and smokers and people with asthma who were just croaking off COVID.
Yeah.
Right. So this was the rhinovirus. And to guys like me and you, it'll probably be just like a sniffle, or maybe a slight cough, or maybe like some sinusy stuff, nothing major, but to someone with asthma, it hits them like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And that was the key contributor to, that was like the light switch mixed with asthma. And, it literally just took her air out of her lungs, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Well, my heart goes out to her. My heart goes out to you guys. I can't even imagine what you've been through in the past 5 days.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely right. Like that. It's a wake up call. Like, isn't it funny how all the petty shit just gets swept to the side and you're like, okay, that's all superficial. Like, wow. I just got reminded how deep the ocean is.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I've been I'll tell you what about the waves and the choppy and the wind and the stuff.
Rocks,
and I'm like dealing with the depth of the ocean here.
And this is going to be a learning experience, not only for me, but for her as well. And I talked with Brody about this yesterday. So I do a weekly Bible study with him, mm-hmm. and we talked about the panic button and where that's at, right? Mm-hmm. Like dirty house. Oh, let's panic. Right. Like, what are we going to do about supper? Panic, you know,
yeah.
Like what are we doing? And this is a perfect transition. What are we going to do for spring break? You yeah. know, like panic, dude,
yeah.
that panic button has been moved. And I just can't get worked up over that shit anymore, because at the end of the day, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She almost died. Like, I saying that out loud changes it. And I had to remind her, like, dude, I don't think you know how bad it was. Like, you almost died. You almost had to be put into a medically induced coma, put on a ventilator, and a machine was going to keep you alive. And like, and you can't worry about dirty laundry or shoes being in the wrong place anymore. Like, yeah. the panic button has been moved. Yeah. And I think kind of moving forward, it's going to be my job to remind people of that in the house, and take maybe a stronger stance in those things, and be like, I'm not going to get sucked into these anymore. I just don't have the energy for it. And I know how scared and worried I actually was in at this time. And whether or not our pillows match on the fucking couch does not concern me anymore. Right. You know, like, come on.
Yeah. 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 I know that used to bother you a lot, but yeah. We're always talking about those pillows.
Yeah. The pillows. Yeah. Yeah. But you get it, right? It's like,
for sure. Your frame has completely changed. Your anchor point for stress has changed.
That's different. And it's going to be different. I just can't do it. I watched someone that I love walk to the brink. And luckily for me, I was able to see her come back from it. I was the only one there too. You know what I mean? Like the parents didn't get to see it. And maybe that's why they weren't as worried about it as I was. Cause I was watching her try to breathe, but not get oxygen. Like, I don't know. So that's what I went through the last 5 days. And, it's almost like trying to find silver linings in it. There are some there, even in the worst possible things in life there. If you look hard enough, you can find a lesson there and find out things, not only about your, like the people who are going through it, but yourself as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Going through rough things that I've been through, that it's an unfortunate but welcome reminder of things we take for granted,
mm-hmm.
and a constant reminder to not take things for granted.
Right.
That you're lucky to have a healthy wife, and you just don't even think about it until you almost lose. And you're like, oh shit. Oh my God. I can't even believe I was taking that for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was crazy, dude. And so now from here, we just keep putting, like, for me anyway, and I mean, it's going to be different. Everybody's journey in life is different. Mm-hmm. But for me, I witnessed and felt something that I've never witnessed and felt before. Mm-hmm. And so my job as a human being moving forward is to continue my personal journey with faith. And mm-hmm. then also just treat people better and just live a better life. Like, that's the goal here, man. It's not a mansion on a mansion or a possession or dollars in the bank. It's about living life, period, at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. How do you think you'll be able to keep this, like, forefront of your mind? Like, you know, that just happened this week, and so you're all revved up.
Right.
How do you think you're going to be able to keep this momentum 6 months from now, and a year from now, and 5 years from now?
I think it's just constantly reminding yourself and saying little things to yourself every day, like, and being a leader. I mean, this is the Man Therapy podcast. I personally think men, should be the leaders of the family, as far as leading by example a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And that's just my opinion and my space that I'm in. But, I think if you can, it's just like working out, right? If you want abs, you got to do sit-ups, right? Yeah. And I think if you want a change in your life, you have to change. Like you got to do the mental and the emotional sit-ups, and you got to continuously do your, you know what I mean? You got to do it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then as far as like being a leader in the family, I'm just going to try my hardest to, be the best example for my kids moving forward and my wife moving forward. But at the same time, dude, I feel like I'm going to double down on telling people, listen, I understand you're frustrated, right? And you have the right to be frustrated, and you have the right to like express your opinions in that, but it doesn't change anything, right? It's not going to change anything. Your mindset will change things, right?
Yeah.
Getting mad at a thing or another person isn't going to change anything unless you take action along with it. So,
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah,
man. I didn't know you guys were going through that. I'm so sorry that you guys had to deal with that.
Yeah, man. I'm just glad I'm here talking to you right now.
Oh, for sure.
Know, like, and not absolutely planning a funeral. Holy shit. Saying
oh my
that,
God. You know, yeah. This could have gone
a million different ways.
Oh, yeah. Glad you were able to shelter your kids from it too. And that's a difficult line to walk, I would guess, mm-hmm. as a parent, to like shit's really going down and you're trying to be like, oh yay, Airbnb and fun and wrestling tournament.
Yeah.
you're the filter.
Yep.
For your kids so that they can just live life and they don't know what's really happening.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Yep. Same thing kind of happened to my dad. So my stepmom, she passed away from cancer a handful of years ago. And, you know, she went through about of it. It went away. They had some surgeries. It went away and she was crystal clear for a while. And then like a year and a half later, she goes back and it's quadrupled everywhere in her body. Okay. And so my dad's like, we went over to visit. He told us and she looks normal, right? She looks a little thinner than last time, but still normal. Right. And then 3 months later, he was just like, hey, I just want to let you know, we're still going to the doctor's appointments and we're doing this and she's in the hospital. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, she's just getting her treatments and it's good to go. And this is where I got frustrated at my dad, because he didn't tell us everything that was going on. So the next time I saw her 3 months later, when I brought the kids down to visit, she was a skeleton. Basically it was just a waiting game at that point on hospice. Right. And like, we didn't even know about that. And where I'm just like, dude, like, why didn't you tell us this? He's like, I didn't want to worry you guys about it. And I can understand why he did that now, having gone through this myself. You know what I mean? So it's also kind of brought me to an understanding with my dad and some of the past decisions he's made too. You know what I mean? Because he was very quiet about it. He didn't want attention. He didn't feel like, don't bother with me or my wife. We got it handled. I don't need your gift baskets and your flowers. Right. That kind of shit. So, and now I kind of understand a little bit about what he, a little bit closer of what he went through, except the actual losing part. You know what I mean?
Isn't that something, dude? Mm-hmm. I've always been interested in the idea of experiences that we have later in life helping us resolve experiences that we had earlier in life. Mm-hmm. And like the I don't know, for lack of better terms, like emotional wounds that we carry throughout life, like kind of just learning to live with them and and just thinking that that's as far as we're ever going to get with it. And then you just keep living life and you have some other experience that makes you go, whoa, that makes me totally reorganize how I thought about that thing from 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And you never could have predicted.
Yeah.
That's a humbling thought. I like that thought a lot.
Yeah. So.
Wow, dude.
Weird. I'm just glad we're out of it. I'm glad we're getting back to normal. She is off work this entire week, obviously. And I think a couple of days next week. And then she'll start getting back into the swing of things. Hopefully we got to go see a lung doctor to double check to make sure there's no like permanent damage. You know, I'm sure some CT scans and x-rays are in her future, and, some different medications that she wasn't on before. So
we're
sitting pretty over here now.
Holy shit, dude. What's it, you know, without, you know, say whatever you feel comfortable saying, but like, what does she say about it?
I don't know if she's necessarily processed it yet, to be honest with you. You know, I see her kind of, she's really tired still. So she's still doing a lot of sleeping. Like it's, I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. She was up at 5 and now she's sleeping again. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
So she's, her schedule's whacked. I don't know if she's necessarily like, I feel like she's going to need to talk to someone about it, and whether it's a therapist or a friend. I think she's going to need to talk to somebody about it. Cause I think she put on the tough guy facade while it was going down. And I don't think she really understood how close and how bad things were.
Whew.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. Strong woman.
Yep. Yeah. She's a tough old bird.
Right. How many years have you guys been together? Not just married, together.
I think April marks our 13th year. So we started dating like, I don't even know, like in a September, and then we were married that following April.
Yeah.
So like, I think we dated for 7 months and then I proposed to her.
Yeah.
So 13 years of marriage, you know, just under 14 years of being together.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm glad that's passed. I just wanted to share that story real quick. And,
For sure.
This is where I would like to reach out to people, and basically say, like, if you've gone through a stressful time and you don't know what to, say about it or how to handle it, I honestly think it doesn't matter. Just talk to somebody about it, whether it is, and this can, you can fill in the blank for whatever, cause it was traumatic. So I don't know if I have long lasting trauma from it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Experience. Right. Gotcha.
But I think just opening up to anybody that you trust, is a good thing. Right. Uh-huh. So if you're not feeling well, or you're sad, or you've had something happen and you have, you've been the tough guy, especially men, right? We're really good at being tough guys. And like for me, I did break down for a little bit, but I got back on my horse and I acted like I'd been there before. Even though I hadn't. And so I think that I had someone that I could talk to, like my mom and, my dad a little bit. And then, obviously Pastor Brody being able to talk to him about that, was really, you know, I had someone there and being able to express that here, go talk to someone. There's no point in holding that shit in anymore. You know what I mean?
Say more about what it does for you. Why would someone go talk to someone? Why is that good?
Imagine, and I'm going to put a feeling on it. Right. So here's where I felt really bad. And that was, I can fight a man. Like I can fight, if somebody is attacking my wife, I can fight him off. yeah. or try to fight him off. I can get in between the attacker and my wife. If there's a house fire, I can jump into a house fire and pull my wife and my kids out or try, you know?
Right. Right.
But with illness like this, I couldn't do anything. And so like, I don't want to make it about me, but I felt useless in this scenario other than just holding her hand tight while I was sitting in the, while she was, had all the machines hooked up to her. I was just holding her hand and letting her know that I was there. That's the only thing I could do. And I felt like a, I felt worthless at that point because there was nothing I could do to protect her. So, I think it felt like for me, it felt like a blanket, like a, like just a 1,000-pound blanket that was put over top of me and I couldn't move. Like I could, I was frozen. I just was like, you know, my, my blood pressure was off the chart. I'm sure all that shit. But then being able to talk to people about it and like, and them going and then dude, you know, who loves you in desperate times are the people who like reach out to you and are like, dude, I just want to let you know. Like I had some friends that are like, dude, I heard about this. I'm thinking about you, man. Like that right there. It, it was a good feeling to know that I didn't have to carry this all by myself. You know what I meant? Like I had people to help me and I also had God to help me. So,
So you could kind of diffuse your stress across them. Not that you're burdening them. You're just like, that's it's an honor. Honestly, it's an honor to be there for a friend.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I bet Brody felt honored to be able to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm very, I don't know. It was just, and then when I almost broke down a second time is when the doctor comes in, she's checking the everything and I follow her out because she was kind of being vague about what happened. And I go, and I'm just like, hey, listen, are we still at critical right now? And she goes, no, we're past critical. Like in a good way, like we're not in a critical situation anymore. And we've actually put in an order to get her out of this room. And I was just like, I took this gigantic deep breath. My eyes got a little teary and I blew out. It was almost like I exhaled all of my stress and all of the pain and the worry. And now I can get back to like being the 100% supported husband who's not worried about anything anymore because I had a medical professional tell me, dude, she's getting better and she's not in critical anymore. And so I was like, and then they started taking her off the machines and then that's just a visual representation of now she's getting better.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, thank you.
Right. Man, talk to me a little bit about the, you know, you said you couldn't do anything. You felt like you couldn't do anything. Obviously, you want to be active because you love her and you're a go-getter. You're action-oriented. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a different type of strength that you have to have and you have to use and you have to display when you're in that position. What comes to your mind when I say that? That it's a different kind of strength to sit there and hold her hand and... What type of strength do you think you were using? So I actually don't think you were being weak and powerless. I think you were doing something in that time.
So here, let me kind of go backwards. Dude, I'm sorry that I sabotaged this episode again.
I knew you were going to say that. Shut up. Dude, all of our topics are like totally free flowing. We can talk about anything ever. Let's just scrap the other one. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
I don't even care.
You know, like it's muscle memory sometimes when you do something. So I'm just kind of going to go back to when I was a kid and I'm like, there were times when my mom was married to this guy and I was afraid to fall asleep in the house because this guy was a piece of shit. Right. After my mom and dad got divorced, she got remarried to a guy that was just a piece of shit. Right. Yeah. Long story short, I don't know if she necessarily saw that. That side of him, but me and my brother definitely did. And And I just, there was times where I was afraid to sleep in the house, in our house. Every time I was around him, I had this anxiety. Same with my brother. I think it actually affected my brother, a little bit more. Like, the dude would call us dumbasses and he would slap us on the back of the head. And as a kid, I wanted to protect my brother too. And so I couldn't do it because this guy is big. Right. He's giant. Right. And I'm just this, I'm just a fifth grader, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And so I felt powerless in those times. Right. But I've been through really scary times. Right. Yeah. I've been through that. Right. And then also, like, when I was drinking at my peak of drinking, you hear oftentimes alcoholics have these anxiety attacks when they quit drinking.
Yeah.
And I would get those anxiety attacks. So I'd already been through rough times in my life. And I kind of channeled those moments a little bit. Like, dude, if I got through this, I can get through this. If I went through that, I can get through this type of deal. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what, and I'm sure you've been there before, where I know you shared the story of the gal you were dating who was threatening to kill herself. I mean, holy shit, dude. Like,
did attempt. Yeah.
Yeah. Did attempt. And I'm sure that's a weight that people just don't need to carry, and you carried it. Right.
Right. Right.
So those feelings, dude, like, no one should have to go through those feelings, but they help you prepare for when things that actually matter come. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that didn't matter, but in the grand scheme of things, you're not with that girl anymore. And my mom's not married to that guy anymore.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter anymore. But now we've gone through these things, and it makes us stronger for the next hurdle that comes our way.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the point of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
I agree with that. It's also highlighting to me the idea of taking responsibility to make yourself as healthy as you can in every way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you talk about, you've talked about your experience with was that your stepdad or your mom's boyfriend?
Oh, stepdad.
They were married. Yes.
They were married. Yeah.
Stepdad. Dude, when I think about that, situations like that, I think, holy shit. As irritated as I get in my marriage, and as annoyed as I get in my marriage, I'd better frickin' suck it up and figure out how to make this as healthy as possible, because I chose that person, and we have kids together, and I do not want another man raising my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want someone else treating her like shit, and I don't want anyone else. I don't ever. When you said that's how you felt as a kid. Man, if I allow myself to, like, lose sight of all of the things that I love about myself or my wife, and allow myself to, like, focus on the stuff that makes me mad and, that I get irritated about, and all the little things that are so, like, they grate on you over time to the point that it starts to feel like, oh, man, why am I even doing this? This is ridiculous. Well, better have some perspective, because what's worse than that? Your kids being afraid to sleep in their own home because you ended up getting with some piece of shit human, So it's like, to me, it's just a major perspective shift of water your garden, tend your own garden, your garden being your relationship with your wife and your life. Like, even if you get really frustrated with your wife, like maybe figure out how to make things healthier. Maybe figure out what mental shifts you need to make so that you're not so upset about the little things that your partner does, you know? Yeah. And then also, like, then physically, how much worse could your wife's situation have been if she was overweight?
100%. Yeah.
You know, but she isn't overweight.
Dude, it made me think about my own health.
This is what, like, I'm saying.
She's, yeah, I know. Like, since I need to go.
Yep. Yeah. She put herself she has really bad asthma, obviously.
Yeah.
She didn't need to have asthma plus obesity. So
exactly.
She took care of herself and does the best she can. To me, it really highlights, take care of yourself in every way that you possibly can. It doesn't prevent bad things from happening to you, but it does mitigate how bad those things will be. So if you don't take care of yourself health-wise, when the health scare comes, it could be worse. If you don't take care of your marriage and your own emotions, then a fight could end up in a divorce.
Yep.
But if you do take care of it, a fight could just be a fight.
Yeah.
And say, exactly. And same for your kids. Like, have really good relationships with your kids so that, like, when you get into a fight, you can come back and repair and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that we got so mad at each other. Oh, me too. Love you, Dad. Hugs and kisses. Versus, you don't do a good job of tending to your relationships with your kids, and a fight turns into a broken relationship and a burned bridge, and you have a child out there that you don't even talk to. And there are people out there that have kids that they don't talk to.
100%.
And
I can't even imagine that, man. Like,
oh, makes me sick.
And it's just like, I don't know how you feel about your kids, and I'll never know, right? I'll never feel that.
Right.
I'll never be able to feel how a random guy on the street feels about his kids or wife. Yeah. But it's this experience has made it more powerful because I think I've realized how fragile this all is.
Mm.
Right. Mm. And just like, dude, you gotta, I hate to bring up a Bible verse, but like there's this,
our podcast, dude.
Yeah, I know. I know. But there's this Bible verse, it's in a book of Matthew's, I believe it's chapter 6. And it's like, do not worry, for tomorrow will have its own set of worries. Right. So, you know, like, just take care of today, man. God's going to give you everything you need today. And there's no point in worrying about tomorrow because you got to get through today first. Right. Yeah. And it also, worry, like, I shouldn't be worried about Kyle, man. I got enough problems of my own. Yeah. What it means is, don't worry about the speck of dust in Kyle's eye when you have a 2x4 in your eye.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So it's just like, oh, look at all the problems that this person's has. Yeah. Meanwhile, I have those problems times 10.
Yeah.
You know, so why am I concerned with all these other people when I have these issues of my own that I'm not tending to? So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and so I want to go back to the powerless feeling that you had when you were, you know, sitting at her bedside. And just want to say that, you know, so I was saying that it's a different kind of strength that you were using, like, you were her rock during that time. And I just want to highlight the importance of presence.
Mm-hmm.
You just being there for her so she didn't have to be alone. Her knowing that you have her back. I bet that was massively important. Because you know what you didn't do? You didn't freak out and throw a cart across the room and get yourself kicked out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And guess what? Guys do that. You didn't get the cops called on you in the hospital because you couldn't handle your emotions. Guys do that. You didn't say, oh, fuck this, I can't handle this, and go on a bender, go get drunk. You didn't do that. You know, you didn't go get into a car accident because you were driving drunk or driving so blinded with rage or upset. You didn't do any of that shit. You doubled down and just focused on her, and you were just present for her. That's awesome. I'll tell you one thing, man. I'm klutzy and clumsy, and I've ended up in the hospital in the ER quite a number of times in my life. And I will say it's way more comforting when you have someone else there that has your best interest in mind. There have been times where I've had to rely on a partner or my mom, where I'm like barely conscious, and I know that that decisions need to be made, and to have a partner there or a parent there that's of clear mind and is like looking out for your best interests. It's very, very calming.
Mm-hmm.
It's reassuring. And so that to me, the presence is what you had to offer, and you did unbroken presence. And then also you felt support when people were present for you, when mm-hmm. people heard about it and reached out to you, you felt like, oh, feels good that somebody cares. Feels good that like somebody wants to share the burden. Cause that's what when you reach out to someone, you're saying to them, I want to share this burden with you. I don't want you to be alone in this.
Yeah.
So I think presence, when we have nothing physical to do, I think our presence is so powerful. And it's so cool that you were healthy enough that you didn't go get pissed drunk because you couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. 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 Just had to, I don't know, just, I guess that's who I am and that's how I was raised. So like being able to deal with massive amounts of pressure when others can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. I look at all, if I was to put a list together of my wife's strengths and weaknesses against my strengths and weaknesses, it's like they're very contrast from each other, but complement each other. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
I am low key chill all the time. Don't give a shit about anything. She is like, okay, well, the kids actually need money in their lunch account today, so I'll handle that. You know, like that kind of stuff.
Find a way to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
I always did.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I'm just like, you know, it's like, okay, well, the house, you know, this like today, like the toilet lever broke, so now I got to go fix it. Right? It's just like, or when there is a very stressful situation in our household, I can handle that. Because I can handle pressure. And meanwhile, she's not that great at it. And so I'm kind of hoping that this is kind of a wake up call a little bit about, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the panic button has been moved, right? Yeah. So it's like, this is actually a need to push the panic button.
Yeah.
But these other things, dude, why are we getting worked up? Why are we putting our energy towards this?
Right. Absolutely, man. It's we don't want to have to learn lessons by having to go through such horrible experiences, but horrible experiences tend to be really good lessons for us. And and you know, you're what, 45 years old or something?
Yep.
You know, and you'll be able to carry this lesson forward now for the rest of your life. You'll be a stronger person for having gone through this. As cliche as that sounds, it's cliche because it's true.
Right. 100%, man. 100%. Wow, yeah.
Huh. Would so, it be, can I, is how open is your wife to talking about it? Like, I definitely want to text her and ask if she's all right and ask how she's doing. Would that be all right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
She welcomes all people to talk about it now. Cause she's not bedridden, but she's tired enough to where her lungs are getting back into the swing of things. Her energy level is coming back up. She's getting, you know, she's slowly getting back into the normal life. And so being able to distract her from that stuff. Yeah, dude, text her.
Okay. Whew. Yeah, yeah, I will. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
What a thing. Thank goodness for those medical professionals. How they can go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. This is where it got a little weird for me. Okay. And in this world we live in, we are very divisive against one another, whether that's politicals or point of views or, you know, this whole Minnesota thing is a great example, right? We got some people are like ICE, love them. Love what they're doing. Thanks, Donald Trump. This is why we voted for you. Let's get them out. Right. And then you got other people who see a different version of that. And they're like, you know, dude, you're tearing families apart. You're removing hardworking citizens and that those people didn't deserve to get shot, which I agree, you know, like all these things. Right. And so while my wife was getting worked on, and the nurses come in and you have these conversations with them, it's like, okay, everybody wants to hate a certain group of people. And then that certain group of people hates, like, I'm just going to use the Democrat and Republican for this example now. Yeah. Okay. I consider myself a conservative and voted in a conservative way in most elections. Right. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm just assuming here. Right. I'm assuming that if you wear a transgender flag or pride flag on your nursing outfit, that you vote a certain way. Okay. That's just a guess. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. But I didn't give a shit about any of that when they were working on my wife. Right. I didn't care if the person was Democrat. I didn't care what their beliefs on, abortion or gun rights were. I didn't give a shit if they were gay or straight. I didn't give a shit if they were transgender or supported transgender. Like, it didn't matter to me at that point because I didn't care enough about those things while my wife was dying. Yeah. Like, I want to thank those people for helping save my wife. And get her on the back on the right track. So this is something I've started thinking about. It's like, how important is this shit?
Yeah.
Like, obviously I have my own views of what it would take to make the world a better place. And these people have their own views of what it would take to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But when you boil all of that shit down and it becomes about life and death, guess what? That none of that shit matters, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter at all.
Right.
And so I'm sitting here rethinking, not necessarily rethinking, because I still believe in a lot of what I believe in, but I'm just like, these people that are oppose my point of view are just trying to live their life just like I'm trying to live my life. Like, we pay the same taxes, we pay the same grocery bills, the same gas, the same electrical bills, like all that shit is the same for us.
Yeah.
It's just that you believe something different. And this kind of goes back to, why don't we shed all that negative energy? Just sit down in front of each other and just talk it out. Right. Yeah. You don't have to all of a sudden just agree with somebody. But I think what you find is that how much they care about gun rights or abortion rights or things like that compared to their family and how much it costs to actually live in this world is more than these little things that don't necessarily impact our life as much as we make them out to be. I don't know.
I think you're really onto something. I think that I think people in power like to rile us up against each other and like to try to make gaps between us seem a lot bigger than they are when we really are a lot more alike than we are unalike. Yeah. And I think the coming together and talking about it, I think that can be done on a micro level with your neighbors.
Yeah.
In your town, in your community, anywhere you go, like, you can be that person. You don't have to carry the divisive language that's been implanted in us from a very young age. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just like, I don't know. I think that if the world had more empathy and you would learn how to walk a mile in someone else's shoes just for a moment, I think and we stopped hating people for the way they look or the small beliefs that they have. Like, imagine, this is what I like. Imagine me and you starting a war over whether or not you liked hot dogs cut up in your macaroni. You know what I mean? Like, that seems to me about the same level as some of this shit we're fighting about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm pro hot dog. Well, you're pro hot dog. Well, I'm anti hot dog.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Who gives a fuck? You know, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it, man. Like, I don't know.
Care about people.
Yeah. Care about people, man. And I think it's okay. Right. To have your own points of view about certain things. but I don't think it's necessary to take them to the grave. You know, like, I will never do this. Well, yeah, you're probably right. You'll never do that because that's who you are and that's what you believe in, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should hate people for the opposing view.
Yeah.
Maybe try to understand them. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to change who you are. Maybe right. just try to understand them a little bit, and that's
yeah.
it. And that,
yeah.
that's a two-way street, by the way. That's for right. that's for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Let them live their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So, well, what about you, man? What's the what's going on? Like, tell me something. I tell you what, let's unpack all of your trauma right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, over no, the- hard to follow all that. Yeah, like we've been at this for, you know, over 50 minutes. So I feel like that's its own standalone episode in my mind. I have to say, I really appreciate you being willing to talk about that stuff. You know, I care about you and your wife and your family. So that's, you know, that's meaningful to me that we got to talk about it. I'm so freaking happy that you guys are out of the woods, and obviously she's got her follow up and stuff, and there will be some changes, at least in the short to medium term, of, you know, medications and monitoring this and that, cause her body went through a lot and stuff. So I'm just happy you guys are okay, dude. And I really respect you talking about it here. I think that's a strength. I really appreciate your message of, you know, that you said earlier of like, talk to people, you know, you allow your friends to be there and allow people to be there to support you. You know, you talking about all of this stuff did not burden me at all. In fact, like all of the, everything that you went through gave me an opportunity to reflect on my family and how much I care about my family, and like, oh shit, like this stuff really is important. So I think, keeping stuff to ourselves robs everyone else of any lessons that they could glean from an experience. And so, I really appreciate you being open enough to talk about it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, thank you very much for letting me vent all this out today, and thanks for asking the right questions and leading the conversation, man. You're very good at that. Also want to just kind of shout out to all the people who do listen to this, although we're still growing and we're not where we quite want to be yet for analytics, but to be honest with you, I'm not even thinking about that.
Right.
I think most of this is actually us just talking about what we're going through at any given time of the day or the week or the month or whatever. Yeah. And I think that's that's huge, man.
Right.
Outside of that, if you guys could just do us a huge favor, and go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you download the Man Therapy podcast, just give it a quick 5-star review. That would help us out. I'll let everybody know that this is, something that you enjoy listening to. On top of that, if you could go to YouTube and search up the Man Therapy podcast, we post our video versions of this same podcast there. So if you want to go and subscribe to that, that would help us out tremendously. Outside of that, man, good vibes, everybody. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite, as my grandpa would say. And I always enjoy your company, Kyle, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
You bet.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
Eczema is unpredictable, but you can flare less with Ebglyss, a once-monthly treatment for moderate to severe eczema. After an initial 4-month or longer dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.